shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show to know what to talk about. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're going too fast.
I'm sorry. I've been running too fast all night. It is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and it's good to be with you this evening. We are in our news and information hour, and that means you can just sit back and relax and enjoy the marvelous commentary that comes flowing forth from this here show.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is, of course, the time of the night where we, you know, we'll take a look at different news stories. Some of them may be prevalent or prominent, and some may not, because we don't necessarily, on this radio show, we don't necessarily pick the news stories that perhaps the headline seekers or the headline grabbers would. The presidential campaign right now is fine. That's great. Romney, blah, blah, blah. Obama, blah, blah, blah. The conventions haven't even happened yet. And that's what everybody is waiting for. And that's what I think I'm going to wait for before we keep going on and on and on about these two guys that are running for president, one of whom already is. Now, Romney made his dumbass comments. He's moved on to Israel. Thank you very much. Now he's in Israel. God help us what he's going to say there.
Yeah, no kidding. He may even say, how much you think we can get, you know, he...
You spit it out? What are you going to say?
Yeah, what are you going to say? No, well, he probably...
Shut up, bud. Never mind. Never mind, you clown. Whatever Romney says in Israel, let's just hope it isn't a, you know, international incident. Okay. But until then, the conventions and so on and so forth and whatnot... and, of course, the conventions ain't going to be all that boogie-woogie, right?
Well, it said a lot of, like, the Democrat convention ain't going to be too good because a lot of Democrats not going to be there. They're going to be out campaigning. I don't know.
All right, well, that may well be. This is also the time of night, however, that we bring out our New York Times front page. You know, I mean, I'm into that. And I have 100 years of New York Times, over 100 years of New York Times front pages. We have every New York Times front page that ever was, you know, up until 2008.
So you don't have all of them?
No, we don't have all of them. We have the, because this CD-ROM came out in 2008, and I haven't gotten it updated. I'm sure the New York Times has come out with one that has the current front pages, but I'm not all that interested in, wow, let's go all the way back to 2009.
Yeah, I'm sure. If it's better some dumbass do that.
Maybe some people, like a kid for school might, but I like to see the really old stuff. So tonight, as we always do, it is the 28th of July. It was the 27th of July. That's why I have the 27th.
Yeah, you said you're going to have it for the East Coast.
I forgot. But, all right, so this is July 27th that I've got here, and this is from the New York Times. But what is one of the articles? Well, in July of 1860, and that's the year that we're looking at, guess what was going on? Same thing that's happening right now. It was a presidential campaign.
There was?
Yes, there was a presidential campaign.
Sorry, dude. I didn't know they had a president then. What, are you an idiot, man? Who do you think George Washington is? Well, I know it's George Washington, but I didn't think they voted.
Well, what do you think they did, bud?
They had the Electoral College.
What a dummy.
Electoral College, made up Electoral College?
The Electoral College is what you're talking about. The only way you determine who wins an Electoral College is if you take some kind of a popular vote, you numbskull. Some kind of a popular vote. Back way, way back in the very beginnings of the country, they polled, I believe, the state legislatures. That's how things were done. All right. In 1860, though, there was a presidential campaign going on, and one of the candidates was a guy by the name of, maybe you've heard about him, Abraham Lincoln?
No, never heard of him. Yes, I heard of him.
Okay. Now, here's a really interesting article. I've never heard of this before, and I don't think anybody's heard of this. Well, I shouldn't say that, but this is kind of interesting. It says, presidential campaign, July the 27th, 1860, New York Times. And this is a dispatch to the New York Times from their correspondent in Hartford, Connecticut. Great wide awake demonstration. The city is full of strangers tonight and great excitement prevails. Talking about Hartford. The Hartford wide awakes, numbering 509 men, turned out and in torchlight procession paraded on the park. They received the Newark wide awakes, numbering 300 at 10 o'clock, and accompanied by thousands, they marched through the city, entering the city hall at 11 o'clock. There, they gave a splendid banquet to their visitors. The hall was beautifully decorated by the ladies of Hartford. Tomorrow, there will be a grand parade, and in the evening, an immense torchlight procession with delegations from various places numbering between 3,000 and 5,000 men. New York, Boston, Newark, and many Connecticut towns are represented here tonight. This is a grand affair, gotten up at great expense, and is the first big gun of the campaign. Who the hell are Wide Awakes?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Is that... What is that?
I don't know. They're the Wide Awakes, man. I never heard of them. See, back at that particular time, though, the Republican Party was brand spanking new. I think it had only maybe had one election under its belt. It had been formed from another party called the Whigs.
Are you kidding me?
That's what they're not called. W-H-I-G. And the Whigs went to hell in a handcart. I guess they just didn't, you know. And the Republicans became the party. The Whigs were opposed to the Democrats, and the Republican Party was the anti-slavery party.
What are you talking about? The Republican? Like Nixon Republican?
Well, Lincoln Republican. I mean, the Republican Party has changed as the Democratic Party has changed over the years. But, yeah, I don't think anybody is in favor of... I can safely say this. The Republicans have never believed in slavery. But Democrats have. So that's the Wide Awakes, man. I'm going to have to find out what the hell those guys are all about.
What else on there?
That's about it, man. But it was a big, obviously, it was a big year, 1860, because within a year, the country would be in a civil war, and there would be a new president. His name would be Abraham Lincoln, and he would go down in history as one of the greatest presidents ever. And I can tell you something that Dorothy Goodwin said, who wrote the book Team Arrivals. We had her, and we interviewed her on the show. She said that by the time Abraham Lincoln had been assassinated and the legacy of that man began to find its way into history, he was world-renowned. By the turn of the 20th century, he was world-famous. I didn't know that. I knew he was big in the United States, and I knew that he was probably big in Europe. But in Asia, in Russia... And she told the story of a Leo Tolstoy was the brilliant Russian writer. Leo Tolstoy, who wrote War and Peace and a great many other famous novels. A brilliant writer, one of the legendary writers of all time. But Leo Tolstoy was in the Caucasus Mountains. And he was talking to the tribespeople who lived there, these Russian tribespeople at the turn of the 20th century. It was the early part of the 1900s. And he would go up there to tell them stories. They liked storytelling. A lot of them were illiterate.
What about TV?
They didn't have TV then, you idiot.
Hey, man.
Watch it. Hey. It is a pretty stupid statement, Robert.
Well, I don't know.
What an idiot.
Hey, man. Watch it, man. They didn't have TV, okay? So Leo Tolstoy would travel to these different hamlets, these burgs, these places where these outlying areas of the Russian Empire, and he would tell stories to the tribespeople. And he ended one night telling a story, telling a variety of stories. Finally, the tribal chief, whoever, said, "Tell us stories of great people. We want to hear stories of great people, people that are famous in history, people that are famous around the world. Tell us about it." So Tolstoy had to really dig into his memory bank, and he starts telling about Napoleon, and he told stories of Julius Caesar, and he told stories of the great kings, Henry VIII, and so on and so forth. He told stories of Ivan the Terrible and people from Russian history. And at the end, though, this chieftain said, and Tolstoy recorded this, he said, "You haven't told us about the greatest of them all. You haven't told us about the man who won the freedom of so many people, the greatest of them all, Abraham Lincoln."
You're kidding.
No. And so Tolstoy, who knew a lot about Abraham Lincoln, launched into this description. But he noted this because he was amazed that Lincoln had achieved such, not only, such fame, worldwide fame, but almost like legendary. Because here are these people way off in the mountains of Russia. They're nowhere near any big cities or libraries. And yet the stories of this man, this great man, Abraham Lincoln, made its way all the way into the...
Like the backwoods of Russia.
Yeah, the hillbillies.
Yes, the Russian hillbillies knew about him.
Pretty big, man. I don't know Russia had no hillbillies.
Oh, yeah. Russia's got hillbillies, man. Still do, as a matter of fact. All right, so there you go. Let's take a break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll get into, like, news that comes from today. I guess we beat Chick-fil-A into the ground, didn't we? The sandwich and the story. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-877. Look what happened to the TriCaster. What the hell is that, man? Man, I don't know. That is weird. Oh, that's the preview setup. I don't want to look at that. We'll be
Truth
right back. World-famous Phil Henry
bitch.
Show.
The Phil Henry wow. Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. A couple of housekeeping items. You know, we're online at philhenryshow.com. We have live streaming video of our show every night. You can watch us perform our show as well as listen to it. If you have a backstage pass, you can watch us here at the El Pacifico. We have other little aspects of video production that we do here on our video cast. We will show, for instance, our, as I was mentioning, our New York Times front page. There it is. And I was actually showing, Bud, you were asking about...
Yeah, what are the films you were showing?
I had a film of, and I got that from the Spielberg archives at the Holocaust Museum. That was actually film footage of the United States Army liberating Paris, as well as the Free French Army. That was pretty cool stuff, huh?
Yeah, I don't know they even have that.
Yeah, they got a lot of, if you go to the archives over there, they got it all. I mean, some pretty, it's very dramatic stuff. I don't want to tell you. But the internet is, for my money, the greatest thing that's happened because it's like having the world's library at your fingertips. No matter what you want to see, no matter what you want to find out about, you can, if you're smart enough, you know, not like you two dumbasses, the first time you land on some stupid-ass website that where they're making up stuff.
What?
Like the thing that you were looking at that time. What was that?
Dad, you thought all like the face on Mars?
It was the face on Mars.
It wasn't a face on Mars, man. And NASA finally figured it out. They took a picture of it. It's a rock.
Well.
Yes. See what happens, man, when you go to these stupid sites? The face on Mars. You know that one?
Yeah, it looked like a guy.
Looked like a guy. There's a fight of people know there was a photograph of a rock on Mars. It looked like a guy's face. It looked like a guy's face. You know, I don't know about anybody else. When I was a kid, I would lay on my back and stare at the sky and look at clouds, and they'd turn into things.
Like what?
Like dogs, like cats. Like, you never did that?
Uh-uh. No, I didn't live in a cloud anymore. I grew up, there were no clouds. It was hot.
Yeah, me too.
Will you shut up? Where I grew up, there was no clouds. You can see anything that you want to see when you see something, and when you see something, you see what you want to see. See?
Right.
All right. So that was the beginning of Bud's, I hope, re-education, man. What a nutcase. All right. Tonight, the Olympics began in London town, baby. And we saw, of course, that parade of fresh young faces. Everybody looked like they were really having a great time as they paraded around, you know, around the track. And, you know, no, they do not decertify countries, Bud. I don't know what you were talking about.
Well, I don't know it was still a country.
You didn't know that it was still a country. We were looking at Latvia. Why wouldn't that still be a country?
Well, exactly. If they have a country, you don't need it to be a country, you know?
You don't need it to be a country? Who makes that decision?
Well, say you got a country and there's no real need for it.
Well, isn't that up to the people that live there?
What about Canada?
What about Canada?
There's no real need for it.
So anyway, Bud.
You don't know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, and the people of the country decide whether there's a need for the country. What about Canada? In one of thousands of pubs across London where surely tears mixed with laughter on Friday night, they might say that who is this? David Hawes in the wake of the news. I was gobsmacked by the Olympic opening ceremony. In a more proper English tea house, they might say, I quite fancied it. All over the world, they will remember this as the night Britain put on a show that was bloody fantastic. I've never been so proud to be British and part of the Olympic movement than at this moment, London Games chairman Sebastian Coe said. As you know, Sebastian Coe is a former distance runner on the British Olympic team. I remember seeing him run in Los Angeles back in 84. The typically understated Brits overwhelmed a global audience with a scintillating presentation that deftly blended artistry, majesty, and ingenuity. Not even a... When was the Beijing Olympics?
What's that?
When was the Beijing... What do you mean, what's that? When was the Beijing Olympics?
In 1990.
No, you guys are full of it. I think Beijing was the last Olympics, wasn't it? Or was it someplace else?
The last Olympics they had was in...
in Korea.
No, it wasn't Korea. 2000, that was the last one. Thanks, Dan. The last Olympics, the last Summer Olympics was Beijing.
Oh.
Korea.
Well.
No, and don't tell me it's close. So, and I remember the Beijing Olympics as having this phenomenal opening ceremony. Remember that? It was like something out of, I don't know, man. It was like outer space or something. Didn't they have like people walking upside down and stuff?
Yeah, one time, man. It looked like they had people levitating and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying that this is a beautiful thing, man. Witnesses understood why. The typically understated Brits overwhelmed a global audience with a scintillating presentation that deftly blended artistry, yada, yada, yada. Not even a confusing, anticlimactic lighting of the cauldron by seven British teenage future Olympians, a secret guarded with Buckingham Palace-like security, ruined the rare sporting spectacle that lived up to the hype. It ruined it, huh?
Yeah, did you see it?
Uh-uh.
It's a bunch of kids. They're stupid looking.
I don't know. Sure, I would have preferred Roger Bannister or Queen Elizabeth light the call. Yeah, right, Queen Elizabeth. That would have been cruel. I mean, cool. Cruel and cool.
But is she going to run up there?
Going to get an old lady to run up there. But the inventive way organizers arranged young torchbearers, each nominated by a British Olympic legend, to ignite the tiny copper petals on the ground before converging into one flame, perhaps provided more apt symbolism for a country more united by these here games. Any reservations about the surprise ending vanished soon after, during the first course of na-na-na-na-na-na-na, when Sir Paul McCartney belted out the Beatle classic, na-na-na-na-na-na. One day...
No, it's Hey Jude.
I know, I'm just screwing around. One day, the roughly 80,000 people inside the Olympic Stadium will tell their own children and grandchildren how lucky they were to watch it. My list of indelible Chicago sporting memories typically starts with the Blackhawks... What is this guy, a Chicago writer?
Yeah, you got like the Chicago Times.
No, I got the Chicago Tribune. Anyway... My list of Chicago memories, he goes on to say this, that. But he says, even this is better than anything. In fact, I'm moving to London. Thank you very much. I'm Derek, David, Derek. I'm changing my first name to Derek.
You didn't say that.
Well, now he did. So people in Chicago are going to hate his guts. So it's the Olympics now. Jay Sanis was going to be on tonight with us, and we will have him on Monday night. He is going to talk about... Jay is going to be talking about the sort of the traditional excitement that we all have watching the Olympics and whether we still have that, you know, that, hey, America, do good, you know.
Why wouldn't we?
Well, it seems like, you know, everything is all kind of global and everybody's like wanting to see. I guess maybe we still want to see. I'm very traditional that way. I want to see the United States like win all the gold and stuff, you know, all of the gold medals, all of them. If we lose one, I'll be bitterly disappointed.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. But, this idea that, well, let's just hope for the best team. I'm not into that. I'm sorry. It's boring for me. And I've always said that the Olympics got super boring when the Cold War ended, man, because that's when the Olympics were great, man, when there was all this threat of nuclear, war. And the only way you could actually go toe-to-toe with each other and just grunt and get angry was the Olympics, whether it's hockey or there was basketball or something like that. And now it's over, and it's missing something, but it won't be missing anything much longer if we just go out and beat the hell out of everybody, win every gold medal so everyone hates us, which I guess they already do, and we're worthy of it. That's what I want to see. I want to see us so dominate the Olympics...
Did everybody like gives up?
That'd be cool if everyone quit.
Yes, if everyone just quits. America so dominates the Olympics. The next one, it's time for the Olympics. Forget it. You don't want to go? No. Yeah, we kicked ass. All right. Well, we got to call it off because everyone's chicken. All right. Anyway, I mentioned our website. Let me also tell you that our podcast is up and ready to rock and roll, baby. Episode 23 of the Free Phil Henry Podcast is available. Steve Bozell and the KY Jelly Refund. You got to listen to this one. It's the Free Phil Henry Podcast. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry, twitter.com/RealPhilHenry, and on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHenry.
Not real Phil Henry.
No, not real Phil Henry, just Phil Henry. And then we, of course, have Phil Henry Fans, which is our, you know, our fan page.
Get it?
That's about it. We'll be right back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Phil, and welcome back to the program. That's just a thing. That's his times. I'm looking at the screen here on Phil TV in HD. Karen, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, Phil. We are listening to you tonight. You were so funny tonight. Phil, this is Karen Deauville. How are you?
I'm good, Karen. How are you doing?
I'm just wonderful. I did some investigation, and had a great time listening to your show tonight. I did some investigation, Phil, and we looked up the wide awakes. We looked up the wide, didn't we, Jerry?
Looked up the wide awakes on Wikipedia, yeah.
I'll give Jerry the phone here in a minute because Jerry has some information. But we just wanted you to know, Herb, and I want you to know, we had such a great time listening to you tonight. It really was fun. It was just fun. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. Had a very, very good time.
All right, I'm going to let you go. I don't want to be a bear. I don't want to be a bugaboo. I don't want to be a bugaboo, okay? That's a word Herb uses. Okay, here, Jerry.
Hey, Phil. Jerry Deauville, I wanted to tell you to find out about a wide awake and what they did.
Okay, these are the wide awakes that... what am I hearing in the background?
We're flying to Las Vegas tonight on Herb's jet.
You're in a jet?
Yeah, we're on Herb's jet. It's a private jet. Here's Karen.
Oh, no, I didn't tell you we're in a private jet tonight. You didn't know that we had that? We're flying to Las Vegas.
I didn't know you guys had a private jet. That's cool.
Yeah, no, right. Now, the wide awake, we're not on a private jet. That's just the sound of the turbine we got out back. We put a new washing machine in, and we're testing the turbine. It sounds like a jet. You really thought we were on a jet?
Did he buy it?
He did. He bought it.
No, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. No, we're not on a jet. That is some big machine that Herb and Jerry put in to try to help my dryer. What do we need? What is that?
It's all the suction. Now we get cleaning it out.
Okay, that's great.
You're angry, aren't you?
No, I'm not angry. I'm not angry.
Yeah. So, Phil, we looked up the wide awake, and...
That is kind of loud, but go ahead.
We looked up the wide awake. The wide awake was a parliamentary group of Republicans back in back in 1860, like you were saying, okay? Just shut it down. Herb shut it down for a couple minutes while on the phone. Good. The wide awake was a parliamentarian...
Hold on for a minute. Are you telling Phil about the wide awake?
Yeah, tell him right now.
Phil, this is the wide awake. Jerry did...
No, I know. He just told me.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jerry, I'm Jerry. You're Phil. The wide awake with a parliamentarian...
I'm sorry, Phil. I just want to say one thing. Can I say one thing, Phil? Can I send you food through the mail, darling?
Well, you don't want to do that.
No. I've made some cookies... And, you know, you're such a doll, and we really love your program. We wanted to know, can I? I would love to send you some cookies.
Okay, you can send me cookies. I usually don't eat food that's sent through the mail.
Oh, you know something? I understand. That's very, very smart. You know what I'll do? I'm going to knit you something. Herb said I should knit you something. What about a cap? What about,
Nothing like Ramada Man involves guys. He's got to be involved.
Jerry, back it down a little bit. What about a cap, Phil?
Okay, look, can I talk to Jerry about the wide awakes?
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, take a look.
She take a look there. So the wide awakes with the parliamentarian organization and...
One thing, Phil.
When am I going to be able to talk to him about the wide awakes?
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, Jerry. I didn't mean to do that. Okay,
the Lederach was a parliamentarian organization, as I was saying. And there were a great many other parliamentary organizations around the country that supported a great many other people. For instance, the Democrats had the Minutemen, the Southern Minutemen. There was the Stonecutters. There was the Azerbaijan III, the Dixie. I think they had the Dixie Mason, the Dixie Cats. They had the Kitty Wells fan club. And
what the what? These are all what?
These are all parliamentary support organizations for the either Republican or Democrat.
What do you mean the Kitty Wells fan club?
That was it. Well, yeah, there was one called the Kitty Wells fan club.
I know that. Well, they did, but they didn't. This wasn't the same Kitty Wells. This is not the singer. This was actually a woman named Kitty Wells who started this parliamentary support group. That's all.
Yeah. All right, so.
Okay, that's great. The Kitty Wells and the Azerbaijan III, and these are all parliamentary support groups for the political party.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly my point.
Okay, that's very interesting. I got to get going.
No, what about the food? You can't have food.
No, I would rather not.
Okay, well, we just love what you do. We just love what you do, and we want you to know that you are very big at our house. And also, is Ray Sugarman good into... Ray Sugarman, who does a local radio show here, I said to him, I called his show the other night because I love Ray Sugarman. He does a lot of political stuff, you know. And I said, Ray, have you heard a man by the name of Phil Hendry? And he said, yes. And I said, well, we know. He said, I would love to have him on my show. Would you be interested in being on the Ray Sugarford show? Or
well, what's his name?
Ray, what is his name? Ray Sugarford?
Ray Sugarworth. Here, let me have it. Ray Sugarworth is a very big local talk show here.
And where do you guys live?
We're in Baltimore, Maryland.
All right, you're in Baltimore. Ray Sugarworth, okay. Sure, I'd like to be on his show.
Okay. Oh, good. So we can have him contact you.
He can contact our show, yeah.
All right, Ray Sugarford.
What's his name? Sugarford or Sugarworth or Sugarman?
What is his name?
Well, he goes by
all three. It's very, very cryptic. I think he's one of these right wingers.
No, I don't. He's a right-winger?
Yes, I think he's very paranoid. So he has three names, you know. But you always know. Say, well, do you listen to Ray Sugarman? And they say, oh, I listen to Ray Sugarford. But we know it's the same man.
Okay. So why do you use different names?
Some people, why do they do that, Herb? Oh, some people like to use different names. So, first, I love Ray Sugarman. And Jerry, you call him what?
Sugarford.
Jerry calls him Ray Sugarford. But Ray Sugarford, Sugarman, Sugarworth, he goes by any of those names. I just like to call him Sugarman. I think it sounds more elegant.
Well, I like Sugarford, Sugarworth.
What did you call? So he called...
Okay, anyway, I got to get going. Thank you very much.
Mr. Sugarford.
That's a new one on me. I like this talk show host. What's his name? Ray Sugarford. Although some people call him Sugarman and some people call him... Sugarworth. All right, thank you very much. And no, I don't eat any food that comes through the mail. I don't know anybody that really does. It's not. I guess it's just not the safest damn thing in the world. All right, it's the world famous Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com, and our podcast is up and ready to rock and roll, episode 23. So by all means, download the hell out of that. And I know it's very confusing out there, okay? It's very confusing out there. This is a whole new world of new media. There's only one problem with it. The radio universe itself, radio stations and syndication companies, they got their head up their ass when it comes to it. So as the result, there's all kinds of very confusing presentations. But I can assure you that the... Free Phil Hendry podcast is the only podcast that we recommend. The others are really horrible, and they are produced by people of very suspect, you know.
They might be like criminals.
They could be criminals, yes, exactly. So don't go near anyone other than the Free Phil Hendry podcast. If it's called anything else, it could very well be from a criminal element. Unless, of course, it's your subscription to our website. That's the daily podcast, and that's heavy. All right, 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico. It's the end of another, boy, I'm so happy to see this week come to an end. I can't even begin to tell you. It's been a particularly, they're all up and down. But this week has been a tough one. However, I think it's going to have a very good ending. And, well, I know for this one reason it's going to have a good ending. Tomorrow is, or today is, Saturday, so...
Yeah, that's the best part.
That's the best part, exactly. We're just going to check into a few other news stories here tonight for you. Like I said, the Olympics was dominating the news. And now, let's get over to Colorado, because this is just, you know, we got to deal with this stuff. This nut... they say now was claiming some kind of amnesia. Now, here's where I'm beginning to be a little suspicious myself. The guy, it's you know, there's every likelihood the guy's got something wrong with him. I mean, I don't think it's a stretch. Now, naturally, we don't want anybody playing crazy when they're not. There was some horse dung that I heard yesterday. What was that, Robert?
Yeah, he said he may not have no memory of the of what happened.
Yeah, no memory of shooting people.
Yeah, then and he had an amnesia or something.
Yeah, bull crap.
That's what I think.
Before the movie theater massacre last week, the suspected gunman had been seeing a psychiatrist at the University of Colorado, mailed her a package containing a notebook, according to a motion filed by James E. Holmes Public Defenders. All right, so this is the beginning now of drawing in, and this is extremely important, because if this guy was seeing a psychiatrist and was dangerous, the first thing they're going to ask the psychiatrist is, why didn't you see this happen? And there's not this doesn't necessarily mean the psychiatrist is in the wrong. It does not mean that at all. But they're going to, obviously, they're going to look at it. And right now, there's one psychiatrist in Colorado, wherever this individual is, that's crapping bricks.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, you know, if you're the person, if you're the one that this guy was seeing, and then he goes out and he does something like this, how do you not feel like, you know, the whole world's going to hate you? In any event, in the filing released on Friday, Holmes' lawyers say that after law enforcement executed a search warrant at the University of Colorado, Denver this week and seized the package addressed to Dr. Lynn Fenton, someone leaked information about it to the media, including allegations that Holmes had alerted law enforcement to it. The release of such information would violate a gag order issued by the judge in the case. The government's disclosure of this confidential and privileged information has placed Mr. Holmes' constitutional rights to due process and a fair trial by an impartial jury at serious jeopardy, Holmes' lawyers said. As well they should. As well they should. Because if the DA or the police involved in this case can't keep their big fat mouths shut when the judge tells them to, then this guy probably ought to get an acquittal. And I hate to say that.
But what are you talking about? The guy shot people.
I'm telling you, like, I don't know about anybody else. I'm getting sick and tired of these DAs and these prosecutors and, in some instances, these cops when they get a highly explosive, highly national, very sensitive case. And the next thing you know, all kinds of stuff is getting leaked. Even though the judge said there's a gag on the case, can't say anything, don't leak anything. I don't know whether the media's got anything to do with this. But you bastards in the media in Colorado, I'll tell you something right now, man. If you are inducing or otherwise, you got a hand in trying to get information out of people to the point where they're leaking things in violation of a gag rule, and this guy walks as the result, somebody ought to know who you are. We ought to know what your name is. The government's disclosure, you just heard what the lawyers said. So they're already saying, aha! You know, serious violation of our client's constitutional rights. Now, you know, the filing did not say why Holmes was seeing Fenton, who did not return calls to her office at the brick home in Denver where she's believed to live. The windows were closed and no one answered the door. Fenton, a 51-year-old graduate from UC Davis in 1982 and the Chicago Medical School in 1986, completed a residency in physical medicine and rehabilitation at Northwestern University in the 1990. After working as chief of physical medicine for the United States Air Force in San Antonio as a physician in Aurora and later as an acupuncturist, she completed a second residency in psychiatry at the University of Colorado in 2008. She's been an assistant professor and for the last 3 years a medical director of the Student Mental Health Service at the university. And this is where Holmes had been a neuroscience doctoral candidate, or student, I should say, until he began the process of withdrawing in June. Most students receive combined treatment of psychotherapy and medications from a single provider at the center, according to the center brochure, and the center staff consults with medical staff. So this guy was getting treated by her, a dangerous individual.
You think that means he had something wrong with him?
Yeah, I think that means he has something wrong with him. The only thing that I thought was bullcrap was when I heard this baloney about how, oh, you know what? Wow, I can't remember what happened. I may not remember what happened. Now, I don't know that anybody's telling him to purposefully lie. There may be people saying to him, you know something, James? If you don't remember, you don't remember. And don't you let anybody force you into... I mean, seriously. On May 30th, Fenton helped make a presentation at the psychiatry department called World of Warcraft, The Use of Archetypes in Psychotherapy. World of Warcraft, a popular multiplayer role-playing video game, was among those Holmes played, according to a former roommate at UC Riverside. Video games, man, among some of these completely psychotic or even psychopathic people is pretty normal because they're young people, a lot of them. The ones that are, you know, like when we go back to Columbine.
Yeah, you don't think it has anything to do with them going and killing people?
No, I think that, you know, they're young people, and so they play video games. And it so happens that if you're crazy or you're psychotic or you got a problem, you're going to latch on to all this symbolism and feed it through your madness. If Phil Henry plays it, you may think I'm crazy, but I'm not. If Phil Henry plays that game, then I leave the game in the computer, I get up, and I walk out into the world, and I don't obsess over the damn thing. I go off and I do something else. I sure as hell know that it's a game. You take some guy that's crackers, that's his reality is, you know, things are floating in the air, people are talking to him, and he's seeing people talking to him on the street, which is what happens to the, you know, schizophrenic people. He's going to take all that stuff out of Warcraft, man, and he's going to be in the real world. What was that thing you were watching the other night, what that guy said?
Yeah, he said one guy killed a guy, and he thought he was in a video game.
What?
Yeah, but that guy killed a guy with a sword?
Yeah, remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, he ran that guy through.
This kid, we were looking at this story, this kid who was psychotic, and that means schizophrenic or some kind of psychosis, was told by some girl that her father was abusing her. It was a total lie. It was a complete lie by this very manipulative girl telling this boyfriend who was half crazy, and he showed up at the house with a sword and killed the father of this girl, imagining himself to be in this video game where he is battling a demon and he's the, you know, the knight.
You don't think the video game caused that?
No, the video game didn't cause it. No, the video game didn't. And one other thing, take the video game away, and they're going to act out in other ways. They're going to find some other symbolism. They're going to find some other bits of reality to kind of construct a new reality, because the reality of psychotic people doesn't exist the way you want. It's gone, man. They're out of their minds, okay? They're out of their minds. I mean, this is what we ought to be talking about. Blows my mind that people who are supposed progressive people, this is the most progressive thing you could possibly be discussing. The mental health of individuals, of human beings, and what if any, bearing it has on crime. And start talking about something we've never talked about before in the history of this country, a national discourse on violence and mental illness. And let's cut the nonsense about guns.
Yeah, but Obama, you've got to get reelected, got to talk about it and everything.
I think President Obama is making a big mistake. I think he's gasbagging it. I think when you say, well, okay, we had a really bad thing happen, I think we got to start talking about something. Otherwise, people are going to be pissed off at me and they won't vote for me. I know. Let's bring up the assault weapons ban. Okay, whatever, man. Bring up the assault weapons ban. That's great. So it'll be an assault weapons ban, and some guy will go out with, you know, an semi-automatic pistol and do the same kind of damage or close to it, and then what kind of a discussion do you want to have then? What the hell is wrong with people? See, if Obama was thinking, man, he would be talking about the stuff we're talking about. And, of course, you know, the Republicans would grab a hold of that. And they would say he's sounding touchy-feely, but then he could turn around on the Republicans and say, hey, I thought you don't want me talking gun control. See, they're caught in the middle. I heard that one guy, I don't know who this jackass was, some senator running his yap on a Sunday show. Okay, fine. So what does this guy say, man? He says, there's no solution in Washington. Now, that's a safe ground between I don't want any damn national mental health care and I don't want any gun control. So let me just say there's no solution in Washington. All right, so you're on your own, Colorado. Until the next one happens, and maybe it'll happen in this senator's backyard, and you're on your own, Senator. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And don't forget to go online at philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass, baby, the BSP. If you are a member of our BSP family, you are indeed a unique and special person, most of you. Some of you are just, you know, kind of weird. I'm kidding. No, we really appreciate all of the love. And don't forget our BSP. And, of course, don't forget the free podcast, the free Phil Hendry podcast up there right now. Until Monday night, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.